In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible teaches that there will be a rapture of believers, and that is the next thing on God's prophetic calendar. That means that God will call the believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you may hear the trumpet one day, and God will call you up into heaven. You haven't died, He just calls you up to heaven. And then you'll be translated into a perfect body, one that's sinless, one that can't sin. And then what's going to take place on the earth is called the tribulation period. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 teaches the rapture of believers. God calls us up to heaven. And then Revelation chapter 4 reveals what Jesus Christ is going to do on the earth to those who are rebelling against God, to those who will not believe upon Him as Savior. And it's not pretty. It's called the Great Tribulation. The last 3.5 years of a 7-year period are called the Great Tribulation. And here's how it works. We have a president who is not a one world government person. And he's probably the last one in politics that feels that way. But there will be a one world government coming that's a one world religious system. And when that one world religious system takes place, it means the getting rid of Christians. But the Christians who are alive now will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. But when the gospel is preached to those in the Great Tribulation period, who God will raise up 144,000 Jewish evangelists, imagine that, 12,000 men from each of the tribes of Israel, they will give the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the earth, and His ascension back up into heaven, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. They'll preach that, and millions of people will be saved. But guess what? The Antichrist, who's now the world leader with this one world religion, one world government, what will he do? He'll put those Christians to death. That's the first part of the tribulation period. They will be put to death. Millions of Christians will be put to death. And his favorite form of killing them will be beheading them. Say, wow, are you kidding? This is what the Bible teaches. And so we are looking at what happens after the rapture of the church. So if you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be viewing this from heaven, looking down on earth. And I thank God for that. So we don't have to go through the wrath that is to come. Satan would love for you to believe a lie and not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's told this lie so many different ways. For instance, he said that you came, Satan would encourage you to think you just came from some blob out of some place, according to some explosion, and now you turned into a monkey and eventually you became a human. How many of you believe that's true? I don't think so. No, the Bible tells us, Psalm 139, we were created in our mother's womb. We were created a male or female. God did that. And that's glorious. And why did God create us? He created us for His own glory. But Satan doesn't want us to bring glory to God. He wants the glory for himself. In fact, Satan is a beautiful being. He's beautiful. Isaiah tells us that Satan, he was called Lucifer, the light bearer. He stood before the throne of God, and in his body are musical instruments. We don't know if the wind blows from him, the breath of God, and causes these instruments to play, which is probably the case, in praise to God. But one day, Isaiah 14 tells us, don't know when that was, Satan, Lucifer, he was called, the light bearer, bearing the light of God, looked upon himself and began to worship himself. And he wanted the angels to worship him. And God says, he doesn't tell what the number are, he said 1/3 of the angels were cast out of heaven with Lucifer, who is now Satan. And guess when sin came into humanity? I don't know if you realize it or not, but God created a man out of the dust of the earth. He's called Adam. From the dirt. from the grounds what his name means. And then God breathed life into him. And then he took a rib from Adam and created a woe man. And so when he saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man, that's nice. That's how it's got woe man, right?" Some of you like that. Some of you don't. We'll just keep moving. So man was attracted to a woman. There's only one woman he could be attracted to. He didn't want to marry a monkey. I don't think so. And God ordained marriage there between a man and a woman. Isn't that beautiful? Yes or no? And then he promised to some that he would give children. If he did give you children, it was so he could raise the children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that they would want to glorify God in their lives. That's why he gave us children. Wow. In other words, there could be a testimony to God that he was our creator and our savior through the parents. Original parents, of course, are Adam and Eve. Everybody goes back to them. But a problem came along. This Lucifer, who was cast down from heaven in the form of a snake, very subtle. You know, subtle has a B in it, and you don't hear the B. Subtle. Very crafty, and he asked Adam and Eve a question. He said, "Hey, hath God said, if you're not to eat of this tree?" Now, God said, "You can eat of all these trees in the Garden of Eden by the Euphrates River. But you can't eat of this one because it will give you knowledge of good and evil." So far, all they knew was good. But Satan, which is the accuser now, accused God before Adam and Eve and said, "You know, if God were good, he wouldn't say no to this one over here." When you attack the character of God, you're going to sin against God. The Lord is good, and the Lord is good all the time. We better not get our opinion of the character of God from sinful men. All God's people say, amen. So they believed the lie. They took the fruit God said don't eat. They ate it. I don't know if it was an apple or not. You know, some people say it was an apple. I don't know. I don't think so. But anyways, they took the bite of the apple, and then they realized good and evil. Because when God says don't do something and you do it, now you realize what evil is. And the wages, what you earn from sinning against God, is death. And so death passed upon all men in the human race so that we all now need a Savior, which is Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came. God the Son came to earth, took on a human nature. God with a human nature, two natures, no one like Jesus Christ. Lived a sinless and perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, not his, was buried for 3 days, and after 3 days, guess what happened? His spirit came back into his body, and he stood up, and he walked out of that grave. And that's called the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the good news that anyone who will believe upon him can be saved. For whosoever... put your name there. Shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That means saved from their sins, and as a result, we don't go to hell. If we don't ask Jesus to save us from our sins, we will go to hell. There's a period called the tribulation period where God gives people, if you will, another chance. If the rapture of the churches, the body of believers, has taken place and you're left behind and you're going through the tribulation period, God gives those on earth another chance to believe upon him. Yes, the Antichrist will step forward. He'll be a silver-spooned mouth individual offering false peace to the world. Peace and safety, peace and safety. Boy, we heard a lot about that today, don't we? Peace and safety. And that's how he'll conform all the world just to line up underneath him. Underneath the guise, the false teaching of peace and safety. That's how he'll do it. And I don't know about you, you can see right now how people, the whole world, can line up underneath this idea of safety. On one plague called COVID-19. But what about when there's 10 of them going on? And stars are falling from heaven, which we've already seen. And they break apart and they embitter one third of the earth's water and the seas and burn up one third of the grass. And one third of humanity is killed in the tribulation period. Will men say, Lord, look at all these judgments being poured out. We repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will, most won't. They'll get harder and harder and harder and continue to blaspheme God by not believing on Jesus Christ. Every year, hundreds of new books are published dealing with demonism, witchcraft, magic, spiritism, and ghosts. Every new television season brings a new catchy program on astrology, fortune-telling, communication with the dead, and paranormal. Channeling is an attempt to communicate with a dead person by subjecting yourself to the control of a spiritist. These are called occult practices, and they are forbidden by God. You are forbidden to be reading a horoscope by God. Deuteronomy 18. You are forbidden to seek a witch for guidance. You are forbidden to seek a Ouija board for guidance. You are forbidden by God to open up your mind to demonic influences because they are real and they will take you away from God. Demons teach humans through spiritual thoughts called spiritual warfare. They teach that Satan is a pretty good guy and he really has your happiness in mind. When human beings are influenced or under the control of demons, they are adamant that their guides are providing wisdom and truth about the other world beyond. They fail to heed the warning of Scripture that Satan actually appears as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14, but he's actually a snake. It's my personal opinion that Kenneth Copeland, for instance, is a demon-possessed minister. He's a blasphemer of Christ. He preaches that the people are little gods. No, you're not. You're not a god. There's only one God. One God, and we preach Him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's one God in three persons. There's nobody like God. And to teach that you are a God in yourself is a blasphemy of God Himself. Galatians 1:18 teaches us, but though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, let him be accursed or damned. That person will be damned. That's pretty strong language. Jesus didn't tell us a lie when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into the Father but by me. He lovingly told us the truth. Fallen, rebellious angels are demons. They were cast out of heaven with Satan. The good, loyal angels are ministering spirits to believers. Yes, you are surrounded by angels, but you're not to depend upon them. You're to depend upon the Lord. You're not to pray to angels. You're not to pray to Mary. You're to pray to God and God alone. When an angel appears to people in the Bible, to other humans, they usually, one, try to worship them. They're so brilliant and beautiful in their light. Or they try to run from them out of fear. And the number one phrase in the Bible with regard to you seeing an angel, and some people have, is fear not, Matthew 1:20. Angels aren't fat little babies with wings. I forgot who painted the painting. Who was it? Anybody? Yeah, let's just move on. He may have gotten rich out of the painting, but he didn't paint the truth. Angels are very powerful beings, whether they're fallen, which are demons, or they are loyal angels to Christ. In fact, one of the loyal angels to Christ was sent over the enemies of Israel, and in one night, 2 Kings 19. In one night, they killed 185,000 soldiers. One night, one angel. Bad angels or demons are also under the control and total and direct control of God. In other words, He limits their powers to destroy things. The church in Matthew 17:21 is called to prayer and fasting over certain individuals who might be influenced by demons. One commentator says, prayer invokes the aid of God and puts oneself unreservedly in His hands. Fasting, which means not eating for a period of time, subdues our flesh, even though we're hungry, arouses the soul's energies, brings into exercise the higher parts of man's nature. Thus equipped, a man is open to receive power on high and can quell the assaults of the evil one. Some things won't change in somebody else's life unless you spend some time in prayer and fasting for that person. They might be influenced by demons to believe a lie. I don't recommend this, but I heard of a man recently who stopped by the booth of a lady willing to tell the future for $200 at the county fair. Put a little booth up, you know, I can read your hand, whatever it is, which is all false teaching, demonic influence. And I'll tell you what's going to take place in your life tomorrow if you give me $200. He said, I don't know if my preacher will like this, but I'm going to try this anyways. He said, okay, I got a better one for you. I'll give you $200 if you can tell me what I was doing yesterday. And you know what she said? That's okay, I'll pass. Very interesting, isn't it? You want to tell me what's going to happen to me in the future. You can't tell me what happened to me yesterday. You're a false prophet. You're a false teacher. Demons are not to be played with. Another psychic company went out of business, and someone sarcastically said, didn't you see that coming? That's terrible. But God forbids these type of things. In Deuteronomy 18, as I mentioned, don't depend on such things as a rabbit's foot, lucky charms, witch's brew, sorcery, hanging crystals, pendants around your neck. By the way, even a cross. You lift up a cross and kiss it as a means of channeling power. God doesn't want that. He wants the person who died on the cross as the means of power. That's Jesus. All God's people say, amen. Amen. All of these things are meant to channel power to you. They're from the devil. Demons are destroyers, accusers, and deceivers, and they will come when they will really be unleashed when God takes off their leash. Some of them are bound right now, the strongest and worst ones. But God's going to take the cap off. He's going to unlock the gate, and He's going to let them out. Wow. I wouldn't want to be on earth when God lets these demons out. This is what the Bible teaches. They want to torment believers and kill the unbelievers, lest they repent and follow after God. They, like their fallen leader, Satan, are liars and murderers in their hearts, and they hate humans. John 8:44. Today we're looking at Revelation chapter 9. We'll see that the Antichrist has been ruling much of the world for several years now, and we are into the last part of the tribulation period called the Great Tribulation. In other words, a lot of trouble coming now. There's been famine, there's been earthquakes, tsunamis, plagues of all types, and one-third of people on the planet die. And yet, God will turn up the judgment so that men will repent and believe upon Him. Why? Because God doesn't want people going to hell. That's why He's doing it. It's one thing to suffer for a number of years or a number of months. It's another thing to suffer apart from God in hell forever. That's why you have the Great Tribulation period. Seven seals are on a book, a scrolls rolled up, a wax seal on each of these pages. And Jesus is the only one worthy to open up the book, to roll it out, and tell us what's going to happen. And now we've come to the seventh seal, containing what will happen in the future. Again, only Jesus Christ has the authority to unveil. Revelation means pull the curtain back or unveil what's going to happen in the future. But you know what? If you have a reverential trust in God, which means to fear God in the Bible, you don't need to fear anything else. The Bible tells us if you have a reverential trust or a right fear for God, right respect for God, you don't need to fear anything else. Even death, by the way. Because to be absent from your body as a believer is to be present with the Lord. You don't even have to fear natural death. All God's people say, amen. So today's title from Revelation chapter 9 is From Bad to the Abyss, when the worst demons are released. Wow, what a title, huh? It's best to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, so you won't have to face any of these things in the future. Father, we ask that you would cause us to understand the word of truth today, to see what's going to take place on the earth as those of us who trusted you, Jesus, as our Savior. You'll take us up to heaven first before these things happen on the earth. I'm so glad to have escaped this coming terror on the earth. Lord, help us to be better evangelists. Give out the good news and ask people to trust you now, Lord Jesus, so you'll save them from their sins in Jesus' name. Amen. God in His mercy is still saving people who will trust Christ and who refuse to follow the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit already working in the world. Our former president had the Antichrist spirit. I'll just be blunt with you. He moved our nation away from under God. He promoted homosexuality, lesbianism, and all this other filthy stuff that God says you're forbidden to do. He tried to move us into a one-world government. He was a tool of Satan, folks. That's terrible. Now, President Trump isn't perfect by any means, and by the way, neither are we. But Jesus is the perfect one. And I can tell you this, personally, that's who I'm voting for, and I'm not ashamed of it. And that's the reason why I'm doing it. Because like the Bible says, God created nations of men that they would follow Him. Nations, lines, borders that He measured out. That's God's business. So you know what? That's where I'm casting my vote, just to let you know. And what should I be doing, by the way, according to God? I should be praying for our leadership in our nation and in the nations of the world. Thank God America and Israel are the only ones who haven't succumbed predominantly to communism. We still have the freedom to worship God here. Nobody's shooting us here today so far. But in due time, it's going to happen. Other nations in the world are being persecuted right now for preaching this book. I've got Korean ministers who are in jail right now. Some who have been beaten recently, and they're in jail because they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the same thing I'm doing today. So as long as we have it, we better proclaim it. All God's people say, amen. Look at Revelation 9. I'm going to have to move fast. Say, right, you never do that. Okay. The fifth and sixth trumpets are sounded, which means God's pronouncing another judgment on the earth. This is the great tribulation period. He's just blown the trumpets. An angel goes in the sky and blows trumpet. Whoa, 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 blowing greater judgment coming. Wow. And this is for what purpose? That men would repent and believe on Christ. If you're already a believer, you're in heaven at this time looking at this, and it will happen. God's revealing it. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. What is the abyss? The bottomless pit is the abyss. Folks, that is referring to man's inability to comprehend its depths. The Apostle John uses words to describe this as a deep cavern that is connected to earth's surface by a shaft with a lid on it that no one can open but God. God has the key to it, and Jesus gives the key to Satan. You say, wow, this sounds like some kind of sci-fi movie. Well, it's going to sound like that a whole lot more, but it's no movie. It's what's going to take place in the future. He gives this key to this fallen star. You know who the fallen star is? The fallen star is Satan. That's right. Lucifer, when he was cast out of heaven. You remember that when the demons left the demonized man in Luke 8:31, they begged that the Lord would not send them into the abyss or the bottomless pit. In other words, don't incarcerate us before our time. Spiritual beings can be locked up too. In fact, all humans in Hades will eventually be taken to the lake of fire or eternal hell when it's emptied out into eternal punishment, Revelation 20:14-15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I thank God my name's not there. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm not going to be cast into the eternal fire because I've trusted Jesus Christ, the righteousness. Just as Hades is a preliminary place for the suffering of unbelievers, the abyss is the preliminary place of incarceration for fallen angels, known as demons, who await God's command and God's final judgment. This is the reason we read about demons being bound temporarily in the abyss in Revelation chapter 9, chapter 11, 7, and chapter 20 and 21. Who is the fallen star again? He has fallen in the past, and the star, the light, the one that was shining, is Lucifer or Satan. Isaiah 14:12, I mentioned this earlier. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which doth weaken the nations? It is the light bearer who was reflecting the glory of God in heaven, who began to worship himself and wanted the angels to worship him. And as soon as that entered his heart, he was cast out of heaven and thrown to the earth. Job 38 and verse 7, listen to this. Job refers to angels prior to the fall of Satan as morning stars who sang together and shouted for joy at the creation of the universe by God. Who created you? God did. So this star, this fallen star, is Satan, and he's about to open the abyss, the bottomless pit. Who owns the keys of death and of hell? Revelation 1:18. Jesus Christ. So that's who's given him the key to unlock this bottomless pit. So Satan is now given this key to open the abyss and release the hordes of demonic beings, which John will have to resort to simile in order to describe. It's kind of like this. That's what a simile is. Because these creatures have never been seen before. These are not modern warfare. These are creatures that have never been seen by man before. Look at verses 2 through 4. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, folks, demons are allowed to inflict pain on unbelievers. They are not allowed to inflict pain on believers in the tribulation period. The word sealed here means the Holy Spirit, through faith in Christ, owns them and has empowered them to protect them. 2 Timothy 2:19, God knows if you've trusted him. And if you haven't, trust him today. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. That's what you build everything upon, God. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you know the Lord, don't live in sin. All God's people say, amen. Then he limits the time in which these demons can come out and wreak havoc on the inhabitants of the earth. Verses 5 and 6, a specific time is given to them. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, not the people, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. I don't want to be struck by any scorpion, I can tell you that. Somebody said, boy, does that hurt. Can you imagine these creatures, these large locusts who have a tail like a scorpion? Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death. It'll be so bad, they will hope to die. But guess what? God won't let them die. Suicide won't be an option. And they shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. John uses this term like or appeared like a simile 10 different times because he's never seen anything like this. And these supernatural beings, and he's having a hard time describing it. Again, I would not try to lessen the strangeness of these demons with the imagery of modern day warfare. Modern day warfare doesn't cause me to be afraid like having seen one of these, I can tell you that. So verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. So you've got these locusts, flying beings, but they're shaped like horses. And then notice their description. Their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their, which means ruling in a certain way. And their faces were as the faces of men. These are some pretty ugly creatures. Verse 8 says, they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. That's no helicopter, folks. That's not a helicopter shooting bullets. No. So don't try to modernize it. These are demons released from the abyss, and they are some ugly-looking creatures. By the way, history tells us that when men in warfare grew their hair long, like the Parthian warriors in ancient times, they grew their hair long as a purpose of looking more fierce and intimidating. Some men grow their hair long and they look like sissies. They don't look tough. They look more like a sissy. But these guys, when they grew their hair long, it was so they would show the fierceness of their message and that you better believe it. For instance, God told three men not to cut their hair. In the Bible. I don't know if you realize it or not. One of them you probably know pretty well. His name is what?
Samson.
And when he cut his hair, he lost his power to judge. He was sent by God to judge Israel's enemies, and his hair was a sign that he was separated unto God, unusual from other men. A judge to protect Israel from God's enemies. Then there's John the Baptist. I don't know if you knew that or not. He never cut his hair. You mean the guy who was born 6 months before Jesus and went before Jesus saying, you better get ready. Hellfire and damnation. He's coming with the fan in his hand and he's going to stroke the fires. You better turn from your sin and turn to him. And then Jesus came and said, I love you. And John's put in prison. He's like, what is this? You say I love you, and you sent me with the hellfire and damnation message. Wait a minute. Are you the Messiah that should come? Yes. Jesus came not to condemn us in our sins, but to release us from them because we're already condemned. Is everybody heading to hell apart from Jesus Christ? Oh, yes. That's what John was supposed to teach. And he did. But Jesus came, you know what? That's true. All what John said was true. Go tell John, no, there's not another Messiah. Not a promised one to save. I'm the one. And by the way, John lost his head for that message. And Jesus came, yep, you're already condemned. My message is not to condemn you, but to show you that you're already condemned and that you need to have faith in him. That's what God's saying about his son, Jesus. Why? Because apart from him, we are dying in our sins and we will go to hell. Wow. God doesn't want that for anybody. Then there's Samuel the prophet. Didn't cut his hair either. God is my judge and he will allow me to discern your thoughts and intentions of your heart. I wouldn't want to be around Samuel if I wasn't walking with God. I know exactly what you're thinking. Wow. But you know what? The Bible knows what we're thinking too. So Hebrews says that God's word can judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart if we'll read it, and it'll point us to God. So wonderful. Look at verses 8 through 10. This is no science fiction movie, but very unusual looking creatures here. Verse 8, and they had hair long as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates that were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Now, have you ever heard horses running to battle? The whole ground thunders with the sound of hooves. Their wings make this kind of noise. Breastplates of iron. Verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So God limits the torment. He even tells us how long it's going to be. I'm going to allow these creatures to be freed on the earth from the abyss for 5 months. Notice what these demons do. The demons will assume the form of a terrifying, most terrifying, painful, destructive creature, will be given God delegated time to chase men, corner them, fight them, sting them, terrorize them. These fallen angels are not man's friend. The world will finally know the truth of their spirit guides. The demons will have to take off their mask and show that they really actually hate God, and they hate you too. Demons hate you. Let me put it plain. Satan hates you, and he hopes you go to hell, rejecting Christ, and his demons hate you too. Period. But Jesus said, wait a minute, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. The world will get to see the desire of demons and their utter hatred for mankind. Demons, fallen angels like Satan, are only allowed to operate under God's permission and divine purposes. Like in verse 1, the key was given to Satan, but God owns it. Verse 3, power was given to them, delegated, regulated authority. Verse 4, they were told not to hurt the green grass. Verse 5, they were told not or permitted to kill. So the Lord reigns even when we think total chaos is in the street. The Lord reigns even if there's chaos in the streets. When the world seems unsettled, remember God is not unseated on his throne. Psalm 115, 1, 3, and 11. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And as the songwriter wrote, though this world with devil's field should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. All God's people say, amen. The Euphrates River then is unchained. Look at verses 13 through 15. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Oh, excuse me. I skipped a few verses, didn't I? I'll read them. Here's this person, this king of these demons is Satan. Verse 11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Who's that? Satan, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon, the destroyer. Woe, one woe is past, and behold, there are two more woes, two more judgments hereafter. Now verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound, there they are again, in the great river Euphrates. So there are four especially strong demonic fallen angels that are bound right now, and they're just raring to go in destruction. Verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Wow. The river Euphrates is prominent in scriptures, dividing the east from the east from the west, and the Near East and the Far East. What has happened at the River Euphrates so far in the Bible? If you study it, you'll find that the River Euphrates flowed out of the Garden of Eden. Wow. That's where it came out of, the Garden of Eden. It was near the Euphrates that Satan tempted and beguiled Adam and Eve. It was near the Euphrates River that the first murder occurred. Cain killed Abel. It was at the Euphrates that earth's plagues were first introduced. We'll see in the continual Revelation, demons will turn into like frog-like beings. Oh, that's sickening. It was at the Euphrates that the first martyr for righteousness was killed. A martyr is someone who believes the truth and is put to death for it. Who was the first person martyred for believing upon the Lamb that would save them? His brother killed him. Abel was the first person murdered by his brother Cain. That's the sons of Adam and Eve. That was at the Euphrates. It's at the Euphrates where the Jews lived through their bitter exile. It was at the River Euphrates that Babylon was built. It will be at the Euphrates that the kingdom of Antichrist will be rebuilt, called Babylon, of course. And then it will be at this river that four extremely powerful demons will be unchained and released to kill mankind in the future upon the earth. These fallen angels or demons are like wild dogs desiring to inflict pain, but they're on a leash. You know what God's going to do? He's going to let them go. God released them to carry out his wrath on the hardened hearts of rebels that are still on the earth. Wow. See, we either move toward God or we move away from God, but we're not going to stay neutral. When we hear the truth, we move toward God or we move away from God. Thank God when I was 27 years of age, I trusted Jesus to save me from my sin. And guess what he did? He did it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. Note, this destruction is unstoppable by human means. When God pours out a plague, folks, you're not going to be able to stop it no matter what you do. If it's his intention to take you, you're gone. If it's not his intention to take you, you'll be left behind or remain on the earth. I'm so glad that my life is in the hands of God. Verses 16 through 18, let's read it quickly. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, just to make sure I heard it correctly. That's 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat upon them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. Those are blue and yellow in color. And the heads of the horses were heads of lion. And other mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By the way, what did God rain from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah because of the homosexuality taking place in that city? Fire and brimstone. That was a taste of hell. That was a taste of the tribulation period ahead of time. Did they repent of their sins and turn to the Lord? Most of them? No. Some of them, yes. 1 Corinthians 6. Right? 9 through 11. Yes? Can anyone who's involved in these sins turn to the Lord and turn away from those sins, believe upon Christ and be saved? The answer? Yes. Jesus came to save sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 18 here, by these was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. So you have lions' heads, imagine these creatures, breathing out fire like the dragons that Job describes. Dragons that are now extinct. These creatures can breathe fire out of their mouth. I thought locusts with men's head was wild enough, but what about these guys? These are some bad dudes, put it that way. Four of them. Tails that move and bite like a snake. Look at verse 19. Their power was in their mouth and in their tails, for their tail were likened to serpents and had heads with them that do hurt. This sounds like a very bad movie. Folks, this is the truth being revealed or taking place in the future. In fact, listen to why we need to believe the Lord. When John saw this vision 2,000 years ago, there weren't even 200,000 people on the planet, even in existence. In World War II, the greatest number of soldiers that the United States had at one time was 12 million soldiers. Folks, this is a demonic army of 200 million soldiers. They are given power to kill one-third of the rest of the people on the planet. You know what that means? That means by the time you get into the almost the seventh year of the tribulation period, one-half of the earth population died. There's dead bodies all over the place. The stench is repulsive. And yet, you think, what will men do? They'll see this and they'll say, God, forgive us of our sins. Save us. We believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation. You think men would do that, right? Some do, most don't. And they get angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier at God and blaspheme His name. Millions will be murdered when they trust Christ as their Savior in a tribulation period. But to be absent from their body will be present with the Lord. More will die from the embittered waters of the asteroids falling and hitting the earth, which we already covered that. Then you've got to deal with these demon creatures, strong in power, breathing out fire. You say, all this is hard to believe, Pastor Long, because we've never seen it. And you know, if you've never seen it before, that's surely an assurance that you're never going to see it, right? Well, let's just take one. In my lifetime, I never witnessed anything like COVID. Have you? I never witnessed anything like that. Where they close businesses and limit this and limit that, taking away personal liberties, fear mongering all over the place. I didn't hear one thing out of a certain group of people that should have said it about trusting God. Not one. I'll let you figure out what party that was. Not one person said anything about trusting God. Not one of them said it. In fact, at one of their conventions, they said, who really needs God? Well, I can tell you who needs God. We do. I need God, and we better pray our nation realizes it needs God too. There's five sins here that they get harder and harder. They refuse to repent of, and we got to close after this. Five sins, the inhabitants of the earth, during the tribulation period, they won't repent. They'll still rebel against God. Number one, verses 20 and 21. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, they're not even true. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Those are five sins that are predominantly in the tribulation period. Here they are. One, idolatry. They refuse to believe that Jesus is God in human flesh, and they're still worshiping the planet. They're still worshiping being influenced by demons, and they don't acknowledge that God is their creator. Number two, they're murderers. All of human life is devalued. You know what? When you start murdering babies in the womb, you're going to start murdering old people, euthanasia. You can only live to 75, then your time's up. Boom, let's go. You don't think that's going to happen? You better keep voting that it doesn't happen. This is a sad day we're living in some respects. Amen? Since 1973, I think we've slaughtered over 60 million babies in the womb. And by the way, a lot of those were black. So Black Lives Matter, you ought to stop abortion. How do you like that one? Pastor Long, is this another one of those politically correct messages? No, it's not. But it's a God-honoring message. Amen? Murders. No value of human life to walk up behind someone and just murder them for the fun of it. Law of the jungle. Just like my nephew said, one of his friends who just got out of the boot camp, walking down with his uniform on, the army, some guy pulled up behind him in a car, pulled out a knife or a shotgun, I think it was, shot him in the back and left. Don't know him, never seen him. He's just wearing a uniform. Nice guy, right? That's the kind of lawlessness you're going to have in the tribulation period. It's going to escalate. That's the third thing they won't repent of, murder. God says, do not kill. Not supposed to have individual murder of people. Sorceries. This is a word that comes from the Greek word pharmakia, from which we get our English word pharmacy or pharmaceuticals. No, don't go off the deep end by thinking that medicine that's given to help you is a sin against God. No, it's not. Paul took some of that. These are the entertainment drugs people use as a means of escaping their reality and subjecting themselves to demonic control. They smoke their dope or whatever, burn this or that. Their minds are open up to demonic activity. They don't even realize it. And they're still using this stuff in the tribulation period. That leads to the next thing, immorality. They refuse to repent of immorality. We get the Greek word porneia here, which includes all type of sexual perversion, including an addiction to pornography. Filth will be on the spiritual level as well. How sad is this, folks? Even in the face of death, even having survived scorpion demons and fire-breathing demonic riders, mankind clings to sexual addiction, pornography, adultery, drug use, and basically abandoned himself to the lust of his flesh. Then the last one is robbery. People will be willing to give up their life just to steal. Protect their life by stealing. Stealing this, stealing that, stealing from everyone. It'll be the law of the jungle. Everyone will be competing for food, clothing, water, and shelter, and even medicine. What a grim picture we have of the future. Amen? And that's why the title of the message is From Bad to the Abyss, When the Worst Demons Are Released. It's best, knowing this is coming in the future, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, and you won't be going through the tribulation period. And all God's people say, amen. Here's the promise of God. Romans 10:13, and whosoever, now if you know it, quote it with me, Romans 10:13, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you think you're going through the tribulation period as a believer, you're not, because 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says Jesus saved us, one of these things, to deliver us from the wrath to come. Let me ask you to bow your heads if you will, please. Say, Pastor Long, like one preacher said, you nearly scared the devil right out of me. Well, I hope I did. I'm not afraid of the devil because I've believed in one who is much stronger than the devil, Jesus Christ. He reigns as Lord. We're already condemned in our sins, and that's why we need Him. I don't know if this is the case with you today, but if you've never asked Jesus to save you from your sins, and you want to trust Jesus Christ in your heart to be your salvation, here's what God would have you do. You need to call out to the Lord. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He died on the cross for my sins, and after 3 days He rose again. I place my faith in Him. Would you come into my heart and save me right now, Lord? Please save me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll pray that in your prayer, in your heart, and mean it, God will save you. You don't have to go through 12 steps of this and 15 steps of that. It's an immediate decision in your heart if you really believe it. Let me have your attention then. Is there anyone here today say, I haven't trusted Christ as my Savior, but I ask Jesus to save me right now? Anyone in our congregation today? Never trusted the Lord. Trust in Jesus right now. God bless you. This is Charles, a friend of mine. Right now, you ask Jesus to save you, Charles. God bless you. Here's what the Lord said. If you'll call upon Him in that prayer and believe in your heart, this is what we prayed, He said He would save you. I mean, right where you're sitting, man. Is that what you did, Charles? You know what the Bible said? You got a home in heaven, now you're a child of God. That's what it means. And it means it immediately. How old are you, Charles? 27. That's when I trusted Christ too. What a glorious day, amen. God bless you. I'm going to get you a Bible, Charles. You just want to read the book of John. First of all, it shows that Jesus is the Son of God and why he came to save us all. And everybody that knows the Lord and here's done the same thing that you're on the path of doing now, which is growing in a likeness to Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, man, I'm not perfect. I mean, you played ball with me in the past since you were a kid, right? And but my righteousness is Jesus Christ, not me. So if you're depending on the righteousness of Christ, you're saved, man. You're not going to go through the tribulation period. Is that what you did? All God's people say?
Amen.
God bless you, and you're dismissed.